All of what's happening in the world now underlines one extremely important point, and that is self-reliance. The whole sort of concept of alliances is fading away, and in its place is this idea of utilizing your own resources. And as you say, DeepSeek is a great example of that. Mark, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. You know, as I wander around the sort of retail spaces, I think that January has extended into February. Okay, there's no money, man. We need some growth. Tim, but where are you? You're not at home. Where are you, man?
No, I am in Cape Town. I'm at the mining conference. This is the sort of big mining indaba. It happens every year.
Yeah.
And it's very exciting. It's a huge event. Huge, huge, huge. Just takes over the whole town.
Yeah.
And I've been more times than I can remember. And it's exactly the same, except bigger.
The principal agenda items this year. Go on. Give me your take.
Well, I don't know. It's just started. It only started half an hour ago. So I'm talking sort of off the top of my head here.
Yeah.
But I would guess that the things that will be discussed at the mining conference this year will be A, Donald Trump.
Oh.
Or to put a bigger sort of category on it, geopolitics. Geopolitics, big topic.
Yeah.
The second topic, I think, will be about, you know, just the state of the commodity prices.
Yeah, the cycle. The big, big cycle.
Yeah, the big cycle. Has the big cycle ended? Is it still going?
Yeah.
All of those sorts of things. And then the third thing, I think, might be, because it's the Cape Town conference, it might be about Africa, you know, what's happening to Africa.
Okay.
Because there's quite big political changes taking place all over the continent.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa is talking to us a bit later. So it's all very interesting.
Cool, man. So you've got some numbers and some insights there for me.
Yes.
Tell me something. Come on, give us the inside track, man. People are going to listen to this before they hear the whole thing. How about a prediction? Go on, Tim. Be brave.
A prediction? You know, it's only been on for half an hour, right?
Yeah, take your time. Make as many caveats as you like. But this is not Parliament. We are just having a chat here.
I predict that Cyril Ramaphosa will not arrive at the mining conference this year, even though he's expected to be.
Okay. Well, there's another boost for the confidence of the mining. No, I mean, one of the things I'd like to see is a solution to artisanal mining. I mean, you could look at it differently, couldn't you, than what we are?
Yes. No, exactly. You could look at it positively.
Yeah.
Because we're sick of being negative.
Yeah.
Let's look at it positively.
Although we're tempted into negativity.
Artisanal mining, it is entrepreneurship in that, you know, which they're trying to kind of boost at this mining conference, as they always do.
Well, let's get this conversation back on track.
Okay.
Tim, the super cycle.
Right.
Our raison d'etre for centuries or for a long time.
Yeah.
Which has declined significantly. I mean, we used to be the biggest producer of gold by far. We're now like eighth or something. I don't know all of these numbers.
Right.
But, I mean, we have built, and there are arguments around not all of its virtues. We've built an economy based on, you know, precious metals and money and natural resources. Is that going to change? I mean, do we also have to create Silicon Valley, or can we still produce metals and fruit and vegetables? What's next?
Back to these facts and figures. It's so interesting to look at things over a kind of long period, over a really long period.
Yeah.
So the mining industry actually is a little larger than it was in 1993 in terms of, you know, the proportion of the economy as a whole. So you could say, well, that's good. You know, South Africa has maintained its mining industry. But actually the mining industry as globally has just exploded. So relatively speaking, I think South Africa's fallen behind massively, massively. But, you know, it's the South African mining industry still there, still there. What has really changed?
Yeah, but so what?
Yeah.
So what if you're a relatively bigger proportion of a relatively smaller economy? That's going kind of nowhere in absolute terms. I mean, how many tons of gold do we produce, or how many tons of precious metals generally and so on?
Yeah.
Are we still a player? First question. Second question. Are precious metals still a player? I suppose they have to be forever, don't they? Or is that all changing?
Yeah. You know, just on the super cycle issue, it's amazing how over, you know, the last kind of couple of years, a lot of commodity prices have stabilized. You know, they bounce around all over the place, right? So, but in South African terms, the coal price is more or less what it was a year ago. The platinum price the same. The iron ore price a little bit down. And the gold price quite a lot up. You know, so that's in some ways, that's the big surprise. The big surprise is that the gold price has really sort of found momentum.
You know, is that safe haven or industrial use or jewelry? Or what are the causes?
No, that's safe haven, I think. That's the consequence of geopolitics that we were sort of talking about. When I say geopolitics, I mean big international stuff up.
Yeah, famous, as you say. But in the famous.
Yes.
What is the famous?
A bit of a famous. And we saw some of that today because Donald Trump is taking away our pocket money, as people will now see, the South Africa's, you know, all of the contributions.
It's an interesting debate, that.
Oh, yeah?
Like all things, there's another angle to it. So
right.
I haven't got sufficient knowledge to comment on the reckless behavior of taking people's money away willingly. Yeah. I don't know enough about it. But there are sometimes unexpected merit that emerge from such things. Like, for example, I would argue that DeepSeek, the new sort of AI game,
right,
has emerged out of the isolation of China. You know, it's certainly an element that contributed towards its, we'll look after ourselves, and America is not the world series of chips. Okay.
Yeah.
And so there's that argument. Obviously, there's just, you know, reckless behavior and ego and all sorts of other things just come into the mix. But what we need here, not dictated to us by outsiders, but ourselves, is some form of conditional capital, some form of capital which says we will provide capital which will spur growth, but here are some conditions. You know, here are some behavioral things that have to do with water and electricity and municipal governance and all of those kinds of other things, and knowledge and capacity and so on, which will attract capital rather than repel it, you know. So
yeah,
this ownership of capital, if used with the right motivation, and I would argue that that's not the case with Trump, but if it was used with the right motivation, can spur, you know, independence and growth. I mean, is that too weird a dream?
No. I think you're right. It's sort of weird. All of what's happening in the world now, for me, underlines one extremely important point, and that is the importance of self-reliance.
Yeah.
We don't have great friends anymore. The whole sort of concept of alliances is fading away. And in its place is this idea of utilizing your own resources, of lifting yourself by your own bootstraps. And, you know, and as you say, DeepSeek is a great example of that, because for the past 10 years, China has been excluded from, you know, the best chips in the world. And they found a way around it.
Yeah.
They just found a way around it. It's incredible.
So there's that. I mean, there's an equally weighty argument which says you have to be a participant in global trade and so on. But
yeah,
you have to pick your fights. You have to go,
yes,
okay, what are we good at? What are we naturally resourced with? Where can we be the lowest cost producer or the most intelligent developer? And then, you know, if you remove geopolitics from it,
yes,
you start getting into economics.
Okay.
And economics is full of sensible laws like supply and demand,
yes,
and efficiency and all of that good stuff. So maybe this watershed of self-interest capital has a byproduct which has got some virtue to it. I don't know. I mean, at the moment, it's just, as you said in the beginning, famous, which is an accounting term for a mess.
It does worry me, though. America's support for South Africans' healthcare has just been a great gift. It's a lot of money, and it's been a fantastic help, and it's just meant that a big chunk of our health budget doesn't have to come out of South African taxpayers' pockets. It comes out of American taxpayers' pockets.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a sense, this is the weird part of this. This is a big help for America. It's in America's interest to make sure that countries around the world are as stable as possible.
Yeah.
Then people won't march across the borders and, you know, they're hundreds of thousands. So I don't understand this. It's very short-sighted. You know, if I was China, I would say today, we'll take over the payments. I mean, wouldn't that be just a genius diplomatic move?
Yeah, well.
To say, okay, America's not paying you anymore. Here's the money. I mean, for them, it's peanuts, right? As it is for America.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did it. Not all because of what you suggested, but because of their desire to, you know, expand into Africa, which is a non-trivial desire,
in
my view. And so
an
opportunity for them. These things are a little bit above my pay grade.
Me too. Everybody's. They're above all of our pay grades.
And there are flows of capital around the world which, you know, are beyond me.
Yeah.
And There's always the Elon Musk factor. I don't know how much he's got to do with whoever gets any loot anymore. I mean, but I think he's at the center of intimate knowledge of what's happening in the Fed and in the US Treasury. And I'm not sure that's entirely a good thing, because although he's clever and he makes money, those aren't the only two important things in the world. But can I move on to something which is more, which is closer to home, which is repairs. Let me call it repairs and maintenance. Okay. Because I even reluctantly take my old car in for its regular repairs and maintenance, but it's proved to be the clever thing to do. Okay. Because I've still got a car that's going to outlive me, and it's lived a long time already. Okay. So now, what are we doing about that at home? Let me start with this dome that they're building in Parliament. Can you remember? Can I just ask you this, Tim? Did the parliamentary roof in Cape Town burn down in our lifetime, or was it before?
No, I do remember vaguely. Yeah.
What was it, like 5 years ago? I don't know. It was a long time ago. They fixed it, the Cathedral of Notre Dame in less time.
Yes, but the South African Parliament's more complicated building than the Cathedral of Notre Dame.
Yeah, it is. So now they've got this dome,
right?
This temporary structure.
Right.
And there's a squabble about who's going to pay for its completion. Not its, because it's already existed for, I think, Nelson Mandela's funeral memorial service. But there's another $30 million to go.
Right.
And I sort of looked at what that was. And it's wrong. The price is wrong.
Okay.
Next statistic. I read, and I think it was News 24, that said that less than 6% of Joburg's bridges.
Right.
In good order.
Okay.
And it would cost, wait for it, 16 billion rand to fix everything up. Now, there's two things wrong there. First of all, how do you get to the point where you've got that statistic? And second of all, who calculates the fair price? And I would argue that there's a relationship between things not being done,
right,
and the skewness of the economics that drives their completion.
Okay? Right.
And we need some experts in the room to go, that bridge is 40 marbles to fix, not 460 marbles. And these are the people to fix it.
Right.
I don't know. We've got to bring professionalism into the fix-it world. And that set of professionals has got to be politically agnostic and, project-focused. Tim, we're in a bad state of repair. And we're devolving this down to the municipalities now, where there's no money and there's no expertise.
Yeah.
Near man, there's trouble. I've never felt less on top of it.
No. As a journalist, I often have this sort of weird experience with statistics. Some numbers, I kind of get the feeling that people are reading them wrong, that this is, because the difference between a billion and a million doesn't seem to be, sufficiently appreciated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So people, when they talk about millions, sometimes they use the word billions.
Yeah.
It's just arbitrary.
I think so. Eh? Yeah.
So, 16 billion rand. I think for 16 billion rand, you could rebuild every single bridge in Johannesburg, surely. Couldn't you?
No, and some. And some.
Yeah.
Well, lots of change. Lots of change.
Yeah, but you could,
it's just rubbish.
Yeah. There is a fetish at the moment with repair. And it's not a terrible, I don't think it's a terrible thing to have an obsession with repair, because as you say, you can make an enormous difference to the lifespan of your assets.
Yeah.
By just looking around a bit. And I know that because I don't.
The greatest evidence for that is the change in life expectancy. Okay, life expectancy has changed because we're spending more on maintenance, more intellect, more money,
right,
more effort, more energy on maintaining. Right. I'm getting to the natural limit that we were allowed way back when, which was 3 score years plus 10.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
I'm approaching that in the speed that I'd like to retard, if at all possible.
Yeah.
But that's no longer the upper limit. The upper limit is 20 years more than that. Okay.
Yes.
And that's maintenance and repair.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
When will we understand this?
I know.
And what's retarding it most is that the people who preside over it don't understand it. And the money that's set aside for it is not going into it.
Yeah.
Just those two things, and we've got a game.
It's the combination of opportunity with a truism.
Yeah.
So the truism is you need to repair things.
Yeah.
The opportunity is, why don't we just expand the cost of repairs, and then there'll be extra for, me.
I'm going to write about it this week, but you, I think, might have beaten me to the post there. This deep sea thing, Yeah. I've got a general theory which says that at the margin, the cost of incremental technology will obviously diminish and diminish and diminish, you know, asymptotically approaching zero at some point. And this is not a new phenomenon. Okay, this has been around forever. Legacy assets finally get usurped. Okay,
right.
That's what happens.
Yes.
If you're still in a world where, you know, you think IBM is going to rule, there's an apple out there waiting to be eaten. Okay. And so, and the same applied to Kodak, the same applied to, you know, goodness knows, you know, just about every industry in the world. And so we should not be surprised, for the geopolitics of it aside, that some guys using intellect and enthusiasm and learning have got out something much cheaper, and that the cycle, you know, the pendulum has again swung.
Yeah.
Blockbuster Video went bust because Netflix found a better solution. These aren't new things, Tim. Yeah.
No, exactly. But, you know, the DeepSeek is fascinating to me because, you know, even in China, DeepSeek is an outlier. Never mind on the globe.
Yeah.
You know, so as DeepSeek emerged out of a quant firm. So this is basically a sort of computer trading operation.
Yeah.
And what they were trying to do was build a machine that was, you know, faster than any other one and understood more. Enormous motivation, as you can imagine.
Yeah, for algorithmic trading models and things of that nature, yeah.
Algorithmic trading, this is absolutely the... So it's funny how things look so obvious in retrospect, but it seems obvious that, you know, the big utility of LLMs or large language models would be, you know, better trading opportunities for computer traders.
The lesson for me also comes out of this all is that it's not about the chips. Okay, it's not about the physical things.
Yes,
it's about the intellectual capacity of entrepreneurial imagination and you know, and stretching that
and the desire.
That's what makes value. Yeah, and the desire and maybe this
and the ambition. Yeah, and the economic impetus. Yeah.
All that stuff, you know. I mean, you know, I never bought an Nvidia share, and I wish I had, but nonetheless, it made a physical thing. Okay.
Yes.
You know, it sold physical things. And at some point someone was gonna leapfrog that with intellectual capacity and drive and ambition and so on, as you know, as we've said. Anyway. It'll forever keep recurring. We'll forever let the pendulum overswing as a new thing comes out, and that thing will be replaced by smarter people. And that's just progress. You know, there's nothing more sexy than that. It's just progress. It's just people filling spaces.
I know. All right. Well, let me go and observe the progress in the mining industry.
And then may I end off by saying this?
Yeah.
You know, there are lots of causes probably, or there are a few causes I think that are worth dying for. But fighting in other people's wars is not one of them.
It's not one of them.
Yeah. You know, and so it might be worth, you know, if you go back to the good old days when Nelson Mandela said it's a cause for which he's prepared to die, that might have been virtue enough for such a statement. It is not worth dying to fight in other people's wars. And so can we bring them back, please?
Yes, I'm with you there.
All right, Tim, we'll go and solve mining, man, and you've got it. Because the next thing that we're going to take over in this world is agriculture. That's my favorite thing at the moment. Okay.
All right. Let's put a pig in that.
Have a good week. Have a good month.
Cheers.